We're going to read together some scripture, and then I'm going to talk for a little bit. So let's say this together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Have you heard about the agricultural salesman who visited a farm, and his idea was he was going to sell the farmer a new combine harvester? The farmer says, no thanks, my pig takes care of all the harvesting. I've no need for your fancy new gizmo. Could save you money in the long term, says the salesman. No, your combine would never match my pig's productivity. You should see him go swishing away with that scythe. The salesman is intrigued about this pig and asks to see it. So the farmer leads the salesman to an enclosure. Standing within, tall and proud, is the most magnificent pig the salesman has ever seen. But the pig has got a wooden leg. That is an impressive pig, sir, but why has he got a wooden leg? Asks the salesman. This pig is more than impressive, mister. I'm sure he's unique. Do you know he can also drive the tractor? Really? But why has he got a wooden leg? He drives our children to school and back, even helps them do their homework. I'm impressed, admits the salesman, but why the wooden leg? This pig is also a leading authority on organic farming. Thanks to him, we've managed to branch out, and now our revenue is higher than that of any other farm in the UK. Yes, yes, you've got one great pig. I can see that just by looking at him. But why does it have a wooden leg? Did I mention the publishing deals? The pig's just written a bestseller. We're going to be even richer now. Amazing, truly amazing. But why the wooden leg? The farmer looks admiringly at his pig and then turns to the salesman. Well, with a pig like this, you just don't eat him all at once. Apologies to the vegetarians among us. It's an interesting story, isn't it? I mean, pigs are wonderful creatures. I had a friend who had a pet pig, and always used to rave about how intelligent his pig was. They are amazing creatures, maybe not quite as amazing as the story of that pig, I will admit. But we live in a world where we are given so much that is brilliant and wonderful to enjoy. And it is precious to God because it is made by him. His creation is precious to him. On Friday, it was the climate strike. Anybody go on the climate strike walk on Friday? Anybody take time off school for the climate strike? Ooh, that's interesting. We might have mixed views about whether we should be taking time off school, but whatever our views on it, it's really interesting. The numbers of people who were out on the streets of major cities around the world concerned about God's creation. They may not believe in God, but there's a concern for the way our world is being treated. And actually, you could say it's a little bit like the pig, isn't it? The brilliant, brilliant pig, but we'll just eat a little bit of it at a time and leave it that little bit crippled. Maybe that's what is happening to the world. And maybe we need to think a little bit about what our part and what our contribution is in preserving the creation. The reading that we had came from Romans chapter 12. And throughout the Bible, there's a concern for God's people, that God's people live and behave in a way that is appropriate for people who claim to be in relationship with God. So part of our role, part of our calling, is that we ought to be people in whom a harvest is being produced. Other places in the Bible, it talks about a harvest of good fruit, the good fruit that is being produced in our lives, the things that we say and do that help one another and help others to grow and to produce a harvest too. If you think about that reading again, it's very, very powerful, isn't it? It can seem a little bit removed from us, the whole idea of harvest, because it's what farmers today do. But today, we can see that our bodies and our minds can produce a beautiful harvest, particularly when the body of Christ, that's us, has Jesus as its head. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God is saying to us, how can I produce a harvest in you? You see, and harvest is something that happens every year, isn't it? It happens, we do it particularly at this time, but there are different times of year when different crops are produced as well, in spring and summer and in autumn as well. And throughout the year, there are harvests that are being produced. Around the world, the harvest is produced all the time around the world. That's why we can get different foods from different parts of the world delivered to our door at any time of the year. The global economy is interconnected. We rely on one another. And so we too ought to be producing fruit in our lives day by day by day. We do not settle for what there has been in the past. We do not settle for what we have had in the past in the way of fruit being produced. It needs to be a daily kind of sense of, Lord, what is it you want to do in me today? What is it you want to produce in me today? What difference do you want me to make in the world around me? Way too many of us just settle for where we're at. We get really comfortable. It's one of the great problems in the church. The church gets really comfortable. One of the most amazing jobs, I think, is being a farmer. If you know anybody who's a farmer, they work really, really hard. They work long, long hours, up before dawn, to get out to look after their flocks or their fields, working throughout the day, having to be constantly on call to look after the farms that they're given care of. They tend and they work really hard to help us have food on the table. And we know that it's a precarious business now. As we look at what could be happening in a month's time as we prepare to leave Europe, it's really interesting. One of the groups that's really concerned about what's going to happen to them is the farmers, who already work really, really hard. They're worried about what will happen to them. Similarly with people who are involved in harvesting fish. The same thing is true. They work hard to keep us fed. So we need to be praying for them. But what work are we doing in our lives to produce a harvest, to make a difference? You see, there's a bit of a balance here. So we do the harvest thing. You can approach it in different ways. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. We come and we sing about harvest, and it simply becomes an intellectual exercise. We can think a little bit about giving some food to help those who are less well off than us, and that's a good thing to do. We can think about the global economy and what's happening in it and the possibilities and the potential problems, and we can worry about that. We can worry about the politics of that, this harvest. But we can also think about, what difference do we make in the economy of God? And so it's good that we take the time to do that. So I thought we'd do this little exercise. It's more than an exercise, it's an act of worship. Now, and I want you to do this. I'm gonna say some things, and when you hear something, if that's you, I want you to say, "That's me," okay? As loudly as you can. So you need to listen carefully. It's not gonna come up on the screen. I'm gonna say it, and we'll go slowly. And if you hear you, I want you to say, "That's me." And there'll be lots of different things about fruit and harvest and making a difference. Say, "That's me." Okay, and then when you hear the word church, I would like you to say, "That's us." Okay, so can we try that? Let's try it. "That's me." "That's me." And "That's us." Okay, so if you hear something that applies to you, if you can shout out, "That's me." And if you hear the word church, you can say, "That's us." Everyone got it? So you need to listen carefully to what's being said. So it's by way of a story. Here's the story. One not so bright and not so sunny morning in Edinburgh. Many people to gather to thank God for the harvest he produced around them and in them. These people were God's church. Some of you were a bit slow in the uptake there. These people were God's church. There were all sorts of people. There were young people. Now, you see, that's a trick question, because you could have all answered that. You know, you're like, "I'm not old." So we'll just try that again. There were young people. Well done. There were middle-aged people. There were older people. There were people who sometimes wore uniforms. There were people who worked in offices. There were people who went to schools or colleges or universities. Didn't quite hear that. There were people who went to or worked in schools, universities, or colleges. There were people who worked or helped in hospitals. There were people who were retired. Said with great joy. They were people who love Jesus. Lots of people did many kind things for others. There were people who cared for homeless people. Well done. There were people who cared for families. There were people who did knitting for charity. There were those who prayed for those in need. Many volunteered and gave their time to help others. All these people are part of God's church. Now, when they come together as church, they like to celebrate and thank God for his love. They say sorry for the things they've got wrong and ask God to be with them in all the things they do. So in the church, you will find many people doing different things. People play music to worship God. Sorry? People play music to worship God. That's very tentative. People sing in the music group. People preach God's word. That's me. People pray. People sing songs and hymns. People read and listen to God's word in the Bible. People bring harvest gifts and offerings to give thanks for all God has done for them. And this is church. Thank you, Lord, for building your church. Let's pray together. It is amazing the harvest that you have already produced in us. Father, would you go on doing that in the year to come? May you produce good fruit, and indeed, may you produce new fruit in our lives. Use our gifts, use our interests to make a difference. Where there is need, help us to care for others. Where people are lost, may they be found by you. Encourage us, help us, and inspire us, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.